From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. There's probably no animal more beautiful and mysterious in our Oregon wilderness than the cougar. It's also one of the most effective predators imaginable. But those predatory skills, honed by millennia of hunting fast prey like deer and elk, are way overmatched for livestock like sheep and goats. And as humans and farm animals continue to encroach on the cougar's historic range, trouble follows. Today on the show, you'll hear about cougar attacks on livestock in our community. First, you'll hear from a livestock owner and worker who sees the damage, a trapper who gets calls from frantic people who've lost animals to cougars, and finally, an ODFW spokesperson on what they're seeing. It's a complicated issue with true disagreements, but what's clear is that in the equation of more people plus more cougars plus more livestock, the sum is more attacks closer to us all. Janelle McCoy, the owner of Badass Hooves, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly, part of the natural process is predation. Obviously, we live in an area that has apex predators. You're really interwoven with so much livestock that is in our community. Kind of give us, you know, kind of what you've seen in terms of when a predator such as a cougar or a wolf or something, you know, takes an animal. Have you seen an increase in this? Kind of give us your observations of what you've seen.
Yeah, I can even speak to my own experience.
Sure.
Unfortunately, when I was very early into the grazing side of our business and had less understanding of the apex predators, specifically cougars in our area, I lost 7 animals in one night.
Wow.
And it was at a retired forest ranger's house, you know, so I knew cougars were in the area. I didn't have an appreciation for how stealthy they could be, how just secretive, and you just don't know that they're there, even if you're looking for, you know, paw prints or scat or something like that. They're incredibly secretive and hard to find. So I, you know, that was a tragedy. And on other grazing operations, I've also lost 1 or 2 here or there. You know, we also have coyotes in our area too.
Okay.
Those are a little bit easier to defend against. Not so much wolves in our area. That's not really a problem that we're
sure.
seeing yet.
More in eastern Oregon.
Yeah, that's really more where they've been reintroduced.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably still present, but it's really the cougars that are just very, very difficult to manage and try to work alongside.
Yeah. And I think you described something. You know, I'm a pretty avid outdoorsman hiker. I have many friends who are hikers. And as humans, you could hike for 30, 40 years and never see a mountain lion. In fact, all the friends that I know and rangers and stuff have never seen them. They're so stealthy. But obviously, you know, when you're raising livestock, which must be, you know, to some degree now on the menu, that's a real, you know, indication of where predation's going to happen, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, and I think too, just going back to the lack of landscape management that I think that we've had for decades, maybe even over a century. When we moved away from indigenous practices of managing our natural landscape here, you've seen an encroachment of Doug fir into this part of the valley where it really doesn't belong. And a cougar territory really is a heavily forested territory. But because of the encroachment of Doug firs, there's more and more habitat that they're encroaching into, in addition to their population density since the 60s has really skyrocketed. So in the 60s, we had a near extinction of our natural cougars. I believe the number in the mid-60s was down to 200.
Wow.
And so there were a lot of efforts to preserve, obviously, and rightfully so, and bring that population back up. There is a cougar management plan through ODFW, or the Oregon Department of Fire and Wildlife, or Fish and Wildlife, rather, that wants to maintain a minimum of 3,000 cougars in Oregon. But the latest census, which was 8 years ago, had that pegged at about, you know, 6,400, 6,700.
Wow.
So it's, and that was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're already seeing, you know, just from our interactions on our farms, or even when they are following us on trails, you know, when they are coming into suburbs, we are seeing that there's a big density that has just really outgrown its natural boundaries, and so that's where we're running into these human interactions with this apex predator.
Yeah.
And as an apex predator, that means it has no natural, you know, predator itself. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the deer that are here. Those are prey.
Sure.
And can be controlled by hunters or apex predators. So the cougars don't have any predators, you know, except for us, basically. Yeah. Or car interventions or things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking to Janelle McCoy. She's the owner of Badass Hooves and is quite knowledgeable about livestock throughout our region and different types of wool and fur bearing animals. In terms of, you know, the interactions you have with other livestock owners and just people in general that you come across, is there tension between maybe solutions with regard to predation? I imagine some people may say, hey, you know, it's my farm, it's my livestock, it's my livelihood. Animals are expensive. I should be able to, you know, shoot a cougar if I see one, even if it's maybe not, you know, involved in predation. What do you hear from people about this issue?
I think there's a big tension between people with animals and without animals.
Okay.
You see this kind of play out on social media apps like Nextdoor or mm-hmm. on Facebook pages where it gets pretty heated in that debate. I think that people feel like, or maybe they don't know that cougars, the population here is as dense as it is. And there was a change in the law, I believe it was in maybe the 90s, where
okay.
hunting laws changed in terms of being able to use dogs to track cougars. And so after that change in 94, you've seen a tremendous population growth. So I think that there's some folks that might feel that we're in cougar territory and we need to learn how to live alongside them. But I would counter that by saying, you know, cougars have a 100-mile radius. The cougar population that we have here is over, you know, and this is an 8-year-old census,
mm-hmm.
over twice the amount that ODFW is trying to maintain. So they're coming into areas where they really shouldn't be there. You
yeah.
know, certainly if you have a cabin in the Cascade Range, you're right in their territory.
Sure.
But when we're living on the fringes here,
yeah.
they're coming closer to us and into our backyards, and you know, household pets are prey too.
Sure.
You know, so it's not just if you have sheep or goats, you know, chickens or your dogs or your cats can also be targeted by cougars and people on trails as well. But so I think there is maybe a lack of understanding about, certainly there's that tension, but they're not, you know, going to go extinct.
Yeah,
we have
yeah.
a high population.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too. It's always this, you know, this is sort of the conundrum of the modern world, is that you can make the argument, you know, that it's great that predators are doing well, like cougars, wolves being introduced. But of course, they're being introduced and cougar populations are on the rise when we're also growing in population as a human species. And of course, more and more agriculture and livestock. So it's almost this sort of inevitable conflict that just is going to happen.
For sure. You know, and I would think that, you know, cougars, they like forested areas. They like heavily wooded areas. So they're not as likely to come into an area that is flat and wide open. But a lot of the Doug firs have encroached into that kind of what should be classically an oak savanna, oak woodland situation. So we've not managed our land well,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
which a lot of us are trying to address in itself by bringing fire back into the landscape and other practices. But now the cougars are coming into, just the other day, there was one off of Bailey Hill that killed, I think, 14 animals.
Wow.
It was right behind the Christian College, I think New Hope Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a suburb. That,
sure.
that is really not your remote forested area.
Sure.
And so when you're seeing that kind of encroachment, where they're really getting into the rural-urban interface right there, that's dangerous. There's children there. There's playgrounds there. There's walkers, hikers. The Wild Iris Ridge Trail is there. So I think that that is speaking to the density that is now well above I think what is recommended.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's a fascinating topic, and certainly, you know, there's a lot there in terms of conflict, in terms of potential, you know, resolutions. Who knows? But certainly, as we continue to grow and our predators continue to grow in number, more and more conflicts will arise. Janelle McCoy, who is the owner of Badass Hooves and an expert on livestock and sheep and llamas and those sorts of things. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Sure.
Now you'll hear from an expert trapper who gets calls at every hour of the day and night to trap and remove a cougar who's killed. Eric Lee, a predator control specialist, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
You bet.
Yeah. How busy are you? How much call do you get from people who need your services, specifically around something like a mountain lion or cougar?
I get a lot of calls. I'm currently working on two different ones currently right now. I would say on an average, it's anywhere between one to five a week.
Wow.
For cougars, and that's not counting coyotes and bobcats, stuff like that. Like I said, I specialize more in the cougar depredation issues, and I do get calls at least one to five a week.
Okay. And how do you work? I mean, is it mostly from ranchers and livestock? They lose something like a sheep or something like that, and then they call you and say, I saw it happen, or I know it happened that a cougar got one of my livestock. They call you and sort of how does it take off from there?
Yeah, so that's correct. So if somebody loses livestock, whether they know or seen what it was or not, they will call me. And give me their address, and then I will go out there and I'll investigate the situation, because, you know, there's other predators in Oregon as well.
Sure.
So we have to be able to investigate, and there's characteristics to a cougar kill that you can tell just by how they do things to be able to distinct if it's a cougar or a wolf or a bear or domestic dogs or a bobcat or coyotes. So there's a lot of characteristics, different characteristics for each animal on how they kill and what they do with their kill afterwards. So say a landowner called me and said, hey, we've got a goat missing. We didn't see what happened, don't know where it went. So goats don't just go missing. Goats are pack animals, and they won't just go missing on their own. If they do get outside of a fence, they're generally right on the other side of the fence from their buddies, right? They don't just wander off on their own.
Okay.
So if a goat's missing, it's been taken, most likely. It's either been stolen or it's been taken or it's stuck somewhere.
Okay.
In this case, around here with so many cougars that we have, landowner would call me and say, I've got a goat missing. So I'd go out and investigate, you know, find out from landowner where the goats were. And generally from there, I can start doing my investigation and looking for clues, you know, looking for drag marks, looking for hair on fences, and essentially I'm looking for an animal that's possibly been buried or it's been stashed to come back later. Once I can distinctly define that it is in fact a cougar kill by the characteristics of how they do with their kills, then I have the landowner fill out some paperwork if they want to try to stop the cat, which inevitably is a good thing to do, because once they start killing livestock, they never stop. So they fill out some paperwork, and then I come in and I do what I do to find the kill, and I put up cameras, and I use traps.
Okay.
And when the cat comes back to feed on the kill that he left, that's when I trap the cat, and I see it on the cameras. This camera go right to my phone. They're real time.
Okay.
And as soon as I see that the cat's caught, no matter what time of day or night or weekend, whatever it is, I'm married to those traps once they're in the ground, right? So I don't sleep that night, I just watch the cameras, and when the cat comes in, then I go in the dark, and then I euthanize the cat.
Okay. You've been doing this for a while. Are you seeing an increase in cougars attacking livestock where you operate?
I have. I've been doing this since 2020.
Okay.
And I was actually ground zero. It happened to me. I had a goat killed in my front yard, 5 acres out in Elmira, and I couldn't get any help. There was only one state trapper at that time in all of Lane County, and he was completely too busy. And he was a friend of mine, and he was so busy, he couldn't even get there to help me. Once that happened, my wife posted on Facebook, and we got a whole bunch of people saying, oh my God, that happened to us. We lost our herd. We lost our cat. We lost our dog. We watched a cougar taking our horse down, all this, and nobody would help us. We couldn't get any help. my guilt got the better part of me knowing that I could help. And so I looked into the laws and looked into everything and started doing it. So that was in 2020. And since then, I've, you know, obviously as far as my name gets out more, I get more busy. I've expanded just because people figure out that there is help. So I've expanded into Oak Ridge and into Crestwell, Cottage Grove, Deadwood, even as far north as Philomath, Sweet Home. I've gotten calls over Smith River, Reedsport. So as my name expands out, obviously my work will expand out. People know there's somebody that can actually help. Now there is, Lane County is the only county in Oregon that doesn't have a government trapper.
Okay.
There is USDA, APHIS trappers that work in Benton, Lynn, Marion, a lot of the counties all over, but Lane County does not have a government trapper at all, as far as cougars I'm in. So, but yes, I do see an increase. You know, population, you know, we watch the population density and all that, and we do see an increase in population over the last, you know, 10-15 years, and you know, and it's obviously a safety conflict. I'm working on one inside city limits in Eugene right now, Bailey Hill, that's killed 19 animals.
Eric Lee, who is a predator control specialist, really appreciate you taking time to talk with us about this issue.
Yeah, you bet.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, you'll hear from the state organization charged with managing our wilderness and the wild animals, including cougars, who roam our woods and even city streets. We're back. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. ODFW has a difficult job to manage our wilderness areas, and that's made even harder as more people and their livestock encroach in our wild areas. Michelle Dennehy, the statewide communications coordinator and spokesperson for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Are you seeing an increase in wild animal predation and livestock in Oregon?
You know, generally, no. We always see some depredation by cougars, coyotes, bears, wolves, mm-hmm. but we're not seeing a huge increase. For example, we've seen cougar taken on damage complaints remain mostly steady. In 2014, we had 124 taken. 2023, for which I have the latest numbers, 131. Some fluctuation in there, up to 175 in 2018. But in general, we're not seeing these huge increases.
Okay. Are cougars responsible for most of the predations that you see on livestock? Is it wolves? I mean, kind of where do cougars rank in terms of predation on livestock in Oregon?
So it's a bit of a hard question to answer because okay. not all depredation is reported to us or are we involved in. For example, coyote depredation is not reported to us in any way.
Oh.
We do get a lot of calls for cougar, you know, where we offer advice about non-lethals and about the regulations, but livestock producers are not required to report coyote depredation to us. USDA Wildlife Services may be a better source of info for this question, but I don't see a current report from them.
Okay.
We definitely get a lot of calls about cougar.
Okay. I mean, cougars, as I understand it, it is a bit of a success story in terms of their overall numbers have been increasing in the state of Oregon. Is that correct?
So we saw back in, I think it was the 1970s, we had a very low number of cougars. I think it was around 200. And that was when they were basically being bounty hunted. Well, then they were classified as game mammals, which means in some, you know, currently they are hunted, but we saw the population increase. Right now, we estimate we have more than 6,000 cougars, but that's of all age classes. So that includes adult cougars, young, you know, very young cougars. So that's what our population modeling indicates. And one thing to know is that if you do take a cougar on damage, you actually are required to report it to us. And we use that. And you also need to bring in the animal to be checked in. And we use that we use that data as part of our population model. We look at things like the sex of the cougar brought in, the age, evidence of reproduction, and that goes into how we figure out how many cougars we have, because they are very reclusive, mm-hmm. and so they're difficult to count. They don't exactly present themselves to be counted.
I imagine not. You know, I asked you sort of what animals are most responsible for predation, but I'm also going to ask you kind of, is there a particular kind of livestock that tends to be preyed upon the most in Oregon?
So calves are generally the most vulnerable, and that's really due to, you know, to their small size, their mm-hmm. lack of mobility. So we do tend to see an uptick in depredation during calving season. Sheep can also be vulnerable due to their behavior, because they're smaller in size than a cow, mm-hmm. And they also tend to flock together, and that can make them more vulnerable, because large numbers of sheep can be killed in one incident just because of their behavior.
Okay. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking to Michelle Dennehy. She is a spokesperson for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. You know, obviously excluding wolves, because I know that there's protections in place for them. You know, if a livestock owner sees a mountain lion, perhaps in a corral with animals, what are the rules of engagement? What's legal? Can they shoot the animal? What does the law say about a cougar eminently threatening livestock?
So what the law says is that a livestock producer or landowner can take wildlife causing damage. That's cougars and bears. Mm-hmm. They can take cougars or bears posing a public health risk, or that's a public nuisance, and they do not need a permit from ODFW. However, they are required to actually check that animal in and report it. So yes, now there are, and this is more of an aside for you, but mm-hmm. you know, there are like firearm rules in effect. So if you're in town, you can't shoot.
Sure.
You know, it's not advised to shoot an animal, but in general, yes, they can take cougar, they can take bear, they can take other wildlife.
What are some of the steps that ODFW recommends to livestock owners to keep their animals, you know, safe?
So the steps really depend on the type of operation that the livestock producer has. So I think the first thing we'd recommend is give us a call. We have field offices all over the state. And really what we're trying to do is help landowners coexist with wildlife by using non-lethal measures when they can.
Michelle Dennehy, a spokesperson for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, really appreciate you jumping on and talking with us.
Sure, no problem. Thank you for having me.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Monday on the show, you'll hear about the city of Corvallis's new status as a sanctuary city for transgender people, and also a professor at OSU that studies gender issues and is very concerned about what the federal government is and will be doing to the transgender community. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.